Well, a very happy 4th of July to all of you as we celebrate our Independence Day here in our nation. And I love all your colors of red, white, and blue. You look like a living flag. So it's great that so many of you are going to be participating in the parade in, just a few hours, about an hour or so. What I wanted to do is just read to you one of the very powerful emails that goes around at this time of year about the sacrifice that our founding fathers made, the men who signed the Declaration of Independence, and what happened to them when they signed this declaration, when they declared their independence, and the sacrifice they paid as individuals or as families for helping to found this nation of ours. And so this is called What Happened to the 56 Men Who Signed the Declaration of Independence. 5 signers were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons serving in the Revolutionary War. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships from the Revolutionary War. They signed and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. What kind of men were they? 24 were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers and large plantation owners. Men of means, well-educated, but they signed the Declaration of Independence, knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were captured. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his home and properties to pay his debts and died in rags. Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in the Congress without pay, and his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him, and poverty was his reward. Vandals or soldiers looted the properties of Dillery, Hall, Clymer, Walton, Gwinnett, Hayward, Rutledge, and Middleton. At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson noted that the British General Cornwallis had taken over the Nelson home for his headquarters. He quietly urged General George Washington to open fire. The home was destroyed and Nelson died bankrupt. Francis Lewis had his home and properties destroyed. The enemy jailed his wife, and she died within a few months. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and his gristmill were laid to waste. For more than a year, he lived in forests and caves, returning home to find his wife dead and his children vanished. So on this 4th of July, this email reminds us to take a moment to silently thank these patriots for the price that they paid, the sacrifice that they made. And it reminds us that freedom is never free. It comes at a great price. So on this 4th of July, we remember all those who made such a great sacrifice to bring about our independence here in our country. And of course, we are Americans, but of course, first and foremost, we are Christians, followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we should always remember, when we think of the sacrifice of these signers of the Declaration, to think of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Sometimes we get discouraged when we think about politics. We get discouraged when we see the way the nation is going, especially in these recent years and months. But we focus primarily, though, on the independence from sin, which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given us. That is the most important sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, on the cross. The greatest independence is independence from sin, which we receive in our baptism when our original sin is washed away, when we go to confession and have our sins washed away, when we're strengthened by the Eucharist and strengthened by confirmation and the holy sacraments. So we are first and foremost Catholic Christians, and our greatest thing to remember is the independence from sin that Jesus Christ gives us so that we can live free in the state of grace and the state of friendship with God. Yes, we do our best to pray for our country, to sacrifice for our country, to work in the political realm as best we can, to elect the best people, to help in the political system as the best we can, to change the laws that will safeguard the unborn and the rights of the sanctity of marriage between man and a woman. We do our best in the political realm, of course, and we have to work very hard to try to maintain the Christian principles upon which this country is founded. But we should never get discouraged, because this is not our eternal homeland. Heaven is our true homeland. Ultimately, what matters is that we save our souls and we save the souls of as many people as we can. Ultimately, our greatest and most important independence is our freedom as Catholic Christians and our independence from sin and living the life of Christ. And one day, getting to our true homeland, which is the kingdom of heaven.